Joshua 23. Now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads, and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations, which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you, and will drive them from before you, and you will possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Be very firm, then, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. Mince. We know that word. We know it from the pie that we eat, mince meat, which strangely doesn't have meat in it. But we also know what it is when someone is accused of mincing their words. They're chopping them up into little pieces, it seems, that just as meat can be minced, the words are cut up so it would seem that they are more palatable, that you can push them on someone and they're not going to choke on them. Well, that's one way to express a dainty, tender presentation of something which is difficult to accept. And this is no time to mince words, Joshua understands. Some of you are acquainted with my father-in-law. Both my brother-in-law, who is also a pastor, and I thank the Lord for our father-in-law, because we have extracted innumerable sermon illustrations from his life. My father-in-law is someone who holds very strong convictions and does not hesitate to express his opinion on just about any matter. And one of his favorite words is junk, but only he can express that with the force. I try it, but it just doesn't come across. Junk, but it just isn't quite there. Art Jans sometimes at the end of one of these exclamations that he makes, I say to him, "Dad, why don't you just say what you are really thinking?" And it rather drips with sarcasm when I do that, because obviously he has already done that. Well, to his credit, there are times when things need to be said plainly, boldly, and without hesitation. Here, Joshua, he's not a kid anymore. He's not known as simply the fellow who tagged along behind Moses, Moses' servant. Joshua, in his own right, has led the children of Israel, and they have possessed the land. There has been something happen under Joshua's leadership that didn't even happen under the great leadership of Moses. Now, of course, God used Moses to lead the people out of Egyptian bondage, but they only came up to the border of the land. God used Joshua to be the man who would lead them in and by whom they would take possession of the land. And so forever, Joshua will be remembered in such high regard. But here we have Joshua, not a kid anymore. What does he say of himself? And what does the text say? Verse 1 says, Joshua, old, advanced in years. And Joshua picks that up, coming out of his own lips in verse 2. I am old, advanced in years. And in verse 14, Joshua himself says, now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth. It was time for Joshua not to mince words. It was time for Joshua, if he had ever minced words before, this was the time for him to speak boldly, plainly, clearly, without hesitation, and as directly as possible. He is saying, I'm not going to be around to either badger, coddle, or to nag you. You'd better grow up and start paying attention to what's really happening here, to the dangers that are before you. You know the dangers that are behind you. You know that you have had to take sword and shield and spear in hand and go out to confront the enemy. A different enemy is going to come at you in days ahead, and you will need to be just as vigilant. You will need to be just as alert every moment of the day. It will be the enemy that seems to work slowly and systematically and in small steps to tear you down, to wear you away, to drag you away when you don't even realize that it is happening. Joshua here is saying, watch out, wake up, pay attention to what is going on. Joshua 23 is actually the first of two addresses that Joshua makes to the people as he realizes he is about to exit the scene. Joshua 23 is the first, and Joshua 24, the concluding chapter of this great book, is the second. So we might say, well, Joshua, why don't you just combine them into two? You're old, you're advanced in age, you don't have much time left, perhaps your energy is less. The Bible gives us this twice, and Joshua gives it to us twice, though the emphasis is almost exactly the same in both of them, because it is underscoring this is important. This is vital for the people to know. This is urgently necessary for the people to pay attention to. That which is worth saying, and worth saying with conviction and with power and with emphasis, is worth saying twice. Joshua and the sacred text does that very thing for us, again in repetition, underscoring, here is something that is so important. Pay attention and live it. Live it. Let's consider what is taking place through these few verses in chapter 23. First of all, we see Joshua as the man who takes the initiative in verse 2. Joshua called for all Israel, but note that he does not leave out anyone. He calls the high and the low. He calls the mighty and the weak. He calls all Israel to himself, and he includes the leaders. No one is excluded from this. He wants each and every one to understand it. Sometimes when we come to the Word of God, we say, well, you know, some of these things are for leaders, and I don't need to pay attention to this, that, or the other thing. Each and every one of us are involved in spiritual warfare, and we need to be equipped. We need to be alert to what is taking place around us. So Joshua, he sets the example for us in the initiative that he takes to raise a warning, to raise a caution for what he sees on ahead, something that he himself could say, well, you know, I've done my part, I've done my bit, I've served, and the sacred record records the victories, and I can go to my grave and rest my head easy. But Joshua is looking along and he is saying, there are people who are coming after me, some who are close to me in age, close to my generation, but there are others who will tag along behind. I am desperately concerned for them, that they would know the warning and hear it sounded, hear the bell rang loud and clear. Joshua takes the initiative. We do need to do the same thing likewise. And we need to be calling out to people, whoever will listen to us, to sound the alarm. Everyone who will hear us, the concern, the caution that needs to be sounded out. But also, think about the basis on which Joshua speaks to these people. We find this in verse 3. He says, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done. Joshua does not turn the spotlight upon himself and say, now look, this is what I have done. I want you to emulate me. I am to be your example. We could poke holes in Joshua's coat. We could poke holes in Moses' coat. Just about every leader has holes somewhere, but Joshua does not say, look at me and follow exactly what I have done. Joshua brings them back to the Lord, who was there before Joshua had any clue of what God was up to, before Moses had any clue about what God was going to do and involve him as well. Joshua says, now listen, here is the basis. You have seen. He is calling them into the witness stand, and he's saying, you saw that. You saw it. You saw what the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, because of God's love for you, because of his promise that he made to your ancestors. He is fulfilling his word. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. That's repeated here several times through this chapter. It was not because of their strength of arm. It was not because of their ability with sword or spear. It wasn't because of their maneuvering tactics. It was because the Lord was on their side and because they were following what his command was. God was the one who was doing the work. That is the basis upon which Joshua is addressing them, and that's the basis of his authority to push this upon them. He's not saying, well, you know, I went into my tent and I scratched my head and I tried to imagine what would come down the way, and I got out some history books and I studied other nations, sort of how the growth pattern, the rise and fall cycle of various empires and nations has gone, Joshua is simply speaking based upon the goodness of God, the fulfilled promise of God, and the strength of God to warn these people, who were God's people, that they needed to cleave and cling to the Lord their God. So Joshua comes in verse 6, and he pushes home to the people. He says, be very firm. Don't be ragged, wet fish. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Joshua was not again bringing them back to himself. He is bringing them back to the written word of God, the very word that we come to time and time again to find instruction and edification and challenge and strength. Joshua, thank you that you brought the people and told them, this is where you are going to find your instruction. And he says to them, be firm. And he says to them, not to the right, not to the left. Do not turn aside from this book that you have. Now that is ever the danger. The danger to turn to the right, to turn to an extreme legalism, or to turn to the left and to tamper with the word of God and to say, well, you know, we really don't need to worry about that. That's for somebody else. And this over here, that person didn't really exist. And Adam and Eve, they're mythical figures. And Noah, you can't really believe the flood and all of this stuff. Joshua says, keep it, do it, treasure it as the treasure that it is truly. And do not let anyone cast you this way, dragging you into an extreme legalism where you are bound with do this and don't do that. Nor that you dismiss the Bible and that there be a casual acquaintance with it or a dismissive attitude towards it. Joshua says, be very firm that you walk according to the word of God. Now Joshua also says in verse 8, he says, you are to cling to the Lord your God. First of all, he says, be very firm to keep to do what is written. He says, this book. Now some people accuse evangelical Christians of being, to make the Bible an idol. And they say that it is some type of Bible idol that we are endeavoring to push across to people. But how do we come to know who the Lord God is, except that we have an authority to lean on, and that that authority be the very Word of God? So we come and we submit ourselves, as Joshua says, be very firm to keep and to treasure this book. And then he says that you cling to the Lord your God. How is it that we know this God? It is through this book that we have in our hands. But Joshua says, you aren't just to loosely associate with him, but there is to be a white knuckle hold. When all of the other world philosophies and systems and religions come to face you and to confront you, you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. In the marriage ceremony, we talk about how that the man is to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, his bride. The picture of human marriage is a picture of Christ and his church, as Paul holds forth for us. that we are to leave this world and that we are to cling. We are, in fact, to cleave. There needs to be a leaving and there needs to be a cleaving unto the Lord. Well, this is what Joshua is speaking of regarding the Israelites. Verse 11 then, Joshua says, take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. There needs to be a deep inner passion. There needs to be hearts that are so devoted to the Lord and so in love with Him that it is natural to place ourselves under His absolute control and to surrender ourselves to Him. The Word of God Joshua brings before them, the Lord Himself, and their own hearts, that they would diligently heed what is going on in their hearts, because where their heart went, all the rest of them would go in like manner. And so Joshua sounds out the warning. He says, God has brought you into this land. God has been good to you. God has taken you by the hand. And what you could not do of yourselves, God did. It was all His doing. He was the one who was providing strength for the fight. He was the one who was extending the day when the day needed to be extended. He was the one who was providing you manna in the wilderness. He was the one who was showing you the way when you didn't know where to go. He was the one who was dividing the Red Sea, and He was the one who was parting the Jordan River. He is the one who will yet fulfill every detail of His word. There were still some pockets of the promised land which were yet to be possessed. Joshua is saying, God will fulfill His word. But he sounds out, and his address on this occasion ends with a warning. It ends with a stern word of caution. It starts in verse 12. If you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty. This isn't, you know, oh, it may be. Know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap. They will be a whip and like thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Quite a statement. Snare, trap, whip, thorns. I'm not particularly drawn to any of those. Joshua continues in verses 15 and 16. It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats. They weren't idle threats. They were words of caution and warning. They were an urgent plea. God calling to the people saying, please, please, let's not go down that road. He will bring upon you all the threats until He has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which He has given you. This isn't just Old Testament. This isn't just 3,500 years ago. But God speaks Old Testament and New Testament in exactly the same way. He He holds out for us the offer of life. He holds out for every one of us the offer of life, abundant and everlasting. But he also says to us, if you take that other road, and there are many, but let's just consider it one. There's either God's road or there's all those others. God says to us, he says, there's a choice that needs to be made. Either you take my way or you take the world's, the devil's way. And God is extending this urgent plea. He is sounding this word of caution, not because he's rubbing his hands and saying, oh, I can hardly wait till they get off the path, and then I'll send lightning bolts, and I'll send thunder, and I'll send hail, and I'll send everything rotten. God declares this openly and plainly as every means of warning the people, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love, but I want you to know that you need to leave this world behind. You need to set aside all of the attractions that so allure you and would draw you away. And you need to cling to me with your whole heart that you might know the blessings which I want to bestow upon you. Each and every one of you. Joshua is a type of Christ. Both the word Jesus and the word Joshua, they are linguistically related. We can take a long time and make the connections between them, but take my word for it at the moment. Joshua and Jesus both mean salvation. And Joshua, he is like a type of that which the law through Moses could not do. Joshua wants to bring us, as Jesus wants to bring us into blessing, strength, and life, true life. But will you listen to both those things which you say, oh, that sounds good? Will you also listen to the word of caution and the word of warning? And if you don't hear the one, listen to the other. Lord, we come before you today and we give you thanks for such a man as Joshua who led the people, but also thought ahead to those days when he would no longer be there and he wanted to sound out a warning. He wanted to give this word to plead with the people to serve the Lord with all of their hearts. Oh God, may we hear this word, this plea, this beckoning cry, but may it not be simply from a man of some 3,500 years ago. May the Holy Spirit take it today and make it so fresh and real and powerful that it is just like someone coming, looking us right in the eye and speaking these words with all of the urgency and with all of the passion and with all of the vibrancy to send it home. Lord, speak within our hearts through your Spirit, I pray. And may there be men and women here today who have perhaps brushed you off and who have gone on their merry way to casually live in this world. May they hear your call to them. May they realize, may they have, as for the first time, their eyes open to realize that they are living in dangerous peril. And may they cry out to you. May they come to the cross and bow there and call upon the name of the Son of God who is able to save them. And Lord, I pray that they would find life and forgiveness. I pray that as they turn in repentance, that they would truly live for the first time truly live, and may they go on in holiness and in discipleship to honor you, to serve you, to be your witness, to live for you, to honor you in all things. And Lord, for all of us, for every one of us, whenever we would want to become casual and just lay back a little bit, Lord, speak these words again to us, that we would cling to you and that our hearts would be completely devoted. So, Lord, hear us and work among us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.